This is the third morning service on January 5th, 2020. The message is delivered by Pastor Hon. The message title is The Lord Who Knocks. The passage is from Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Good morning, and I wish you a happy new year. Let us greet each other, your neighbors. Please turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The reason I selected this passage as the theme a scripture passage for 2020, I spoke on the first day of January. I could not help but think that this verse is the most appropriate theme for Tsuchiura Megumi Church and its members. And I'd like to spend a few minutes to review what I spoke at the New Year's Day service. You must have seen this painting before. In this painting, that Jesus is standing at the door and knocking on the door from outside. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So this image of paintings and Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 is often used to approach non-Christians to receive Christ. And that's why often this passage is considered to be for non-Christians. But if we carefully look at the context of this passage, the message here is spoken to Christians rather than non-Christians. In the book of Revelation, the passage is spoken by Jesus directly to the church in Laodicea. The church of Laodicea was in the city of Laodicea. And it was the city where the many main the roads from city to city or city to the port passed through the city of Laodicea. So there was developed a transportation network around Laodicea. And as a result, there was developed a financial industry there in the city. And it was a city producing high-quality wool. And because of that, we can easily imagine that many people gathered in the church. And probably the church had many facilities or projects. And the church was quite wealthy. And about this church, Jesus mentions in the verse 17 of chapter 3, you say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The Christians in the church of Laodicea took a pride in their wealth and the fact that they were spending their Christian life in such a wealthy church. And they thought that they were rich spiritually as well. But Jesus says, no, no. You have been putting yourself in the atmosphere of wealth and floating on it. But reality, according to Jesus, was that they were wretched, pitiful, blind, and naked spiritually. There were Christians who somehow lost the sight of Jesus, and they did not realize that they were so. Why? Ironically, although they were Christians, they did not like to invite the Lord Jesus truly in their hearts. When we receive Christ truly in our hearts, we change. It means that we might not be able to do what we want to do. But we don't like to change our desire or personal interest. We accept anything if Jesus can change himself. But we don't want to change ourselves for Jesus. Such thought made Laodicean Christians wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind, and naked. So they were living their Christian life as if they have lost Jesus. The Laodicean Christians knew somehow that accepting Jesus truly accepting Jesus would change their lives. There were areas in their lives Jesus was not there. Or, in another word, there were areas of their lives they did not want him to come in because it was too troublesome or bothersome. So they have drawn a line between what they allowed, where they allow Jesus to come in, and where they do not want him to come in. There is no area where Jesus does not knock on the door. Jesus keeps knocking on the door. Unfortunately, the Lord Jesus was kept standing outside at the door of Laodicean Christians. How about us? Unfortunately, isn't the Lord Jesus still standing outside at the door of our heart. But he still keeps knocking on our doors. Laodicean believers kept Jesus standing at the door outside and became like this, verse 17 of chapter 3. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So Laodicean Christians, they didn't realize what they were. And verse 15 and 16, I know your deeds that are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So this was the result. And Jesus says he knew their deeds. Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. And Jesus says, you say you believe in me, but I'm not in your life. I'm not with you in your daily life. And Jesus says at the end, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But when Jesus says he is about to spit you out of his mouth, it did not mean that he was going to dispose or discard Laodicean Christians. Because in verse 19, he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. So when he says he is about to spit out, it meant him rebuking and disciplining. Let's look at the letters to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. When I read this passage, I remember about my father. My father gave me training when I was little. And it was quite tough for me. Every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock in the morning afternoon, I had to sit down and dictate the kanji, Chinese character. It lasted from grade 1 through grade 4 in my primary school time. My father received only a primary school education, and the only thing he was proud of was that he knew 1,000 kanji characters. And he wanted me to be able to handle kanji characters well. And he gave me a quite tough training every Sunday. And he read kanji characters listed in the end of my school textbook. Some I knew, some I didn't know yet, and I had to write on my notebook. But this training produced a fruit when I started the junior high. In my junior high school, every Monday morning we had kanji character tests. And the school made every student take a certificate test of kanji characters. And because of the training my father gave me in my earlier years, it was not difficult for me to study kanji characters for the tests, the weekly tests. And I did well, and I got the high marks, scores in the tests, and received telephone cards or other the awards from the school. The Hebrew chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. A human fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We don't know who wrote the letters to letter to Hebrews, but this writer must have had a similar experience as mine, receiving some discipline from his father. And he says that human fathers discipline their children as they thought best. But God disciplines us for a good in order that we may share it in His holiness. Why? In verse 6, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. So there's a purpose of the discipline by Jesus. Verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Verse 10. In order that we may share in His holiness. And 11, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. How hard the human fathers train us. it does not make us resist a fight against the sin and resist to the extent of shedding the blood, so that we might share in the holiness of the Lord Jesus, nor producing a harvest of righteousness and peace. And it is only Jesus who can make us a share in His holiness and produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. And this is why Jesus spits out those who are lukewarm. When He spits out, it is not to discard or dispose us, but to make us what we should be as Christians or as children of God. In the very hot weather, we want to have something cold in our mouth. But when we eat the watermelon, which we expect to be very cold, turns out to be lukewarm, we may spit it out. Or in the very hot weather, we want to drink something cold and we expect to drink a carbonated water, cold carbonated water, but it turns out to be without gas and lukewarm, we would spit it out. So, even for watermelon or the carbonated water, they are what they are supposed to be. The same for Christians. There is what is what a Christian should be like. Not superficial, but what a Christian should be in reality. And this is why Jesus keeps standing at the door, knocking on the door. And when we hear Jesus knocking on the door, what do we do? In my case, I pray to Jesus to say, Jesus, I'm very sorry, to repent. Jesus, I'm sorry to ignore you. Jesus, I'm sorry that I pretended not to hear you. Jesus, I'm sorry to have cheated you. Jesus, I'm sorry I hated some people. Jesus, I'm sorry I was possessed by a lust for money. Jesus, I'm sorry I was lazy. Jesus, I'm sorry I was arrogant. Jesus, I'm sorry I was violent. Jesus, I'm sorry I did not have love. Jesus, I'm sorry I was greedy. Jesus, I'm sorry I considered my experience and knowledge were the absolute. Jesus, I'm sorry I considered something better than you. Jesus, I'm sorry that I did not fight against the sin. I'm sorry I didn't, I considered, I took very light on being holy, and I pursued more of our desire than the fruit of righteousness. In verse 19 of chapter 3 of Revelation, it says, be earnest and repent. Before Jesus talked about verse 20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. So, to repent and to hear Jesus knocking on the door are in one set. When we are given God's word, if we apply it to others, there is no repentance. If we apply the word to others, we tend to justify ourselves and we become judgmental. We criticize them. And we tend to have an illusion that we've done the right thing as a righteous Christian. But if we apply God's word to ourselves, we can do nothing but to pray, to repent before God. We admit that we were trying not to listen to Jesus knocking on the door. John, Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold, gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. We do not need to collect gold to become rich. We do not have to decorate ourselves to hide our shame. We do not need to gather information because we do not see well the world. Jesus advises us to become rich. We are to buy gold we find in the fire from Jesus, and to buy white clothes from Jesus, which was washed by Jesus' blood. And we need to buy ointment from Jesus so that we can discern what is good or not. And he also says, buy it. Book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. When a man found a treasure in the field, he sold everything to buy the field. What is the point of this parable of Jesus? It's a joy. Do we have a joy, the same joy as this man who found a treasure in the field. As a Christian who believes in God's kingdom, do we have a joy that we want to buy this treasure, buy this field, even by selling everything we had? If we do not have such a joy, we do not understand the value of God's kingdom. Knowing is not the faith. Hearing Jesus knocking on the door is faith. Hearing Jesus knocking on the door, and when it becomes our joy, that is faith. A faith is that makes us that gives us joy to sell, even selling everything, so that we might be able to listen or hear Jesus knocking on the door. In order to hear Jesus knocking on the door, is there anything better than that? And Jesus says, we should buy from Jesus by selling everything so as to gain that joy. Verse 18 of chapter 3, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. To buy, we need a decision. To buy, we need to labor. To buy, we need to give up something. To buy, we have to work hard. But to buy brings a joy. To buy brings the joy in this life. And we can live for that in order to buy it. And we can work hard on it. And Jesus rebuke and discipline us so that we might want to buy the joy from Him. And do you hear Jesus knocking on your door? If you do, open your door. If you don't, pray and repent. You hear Jesus knocking on the door, but you don't want to listen, to open. Don't worry. Jesus will spit you out. And after discipline, He will make you happy to open the door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Let us hear Jesus knocking on our door. He is knocking on our door. And when we hear it, let us open the door. If we don't, let us pray and repent. If we hear but we don't want to open, don't worry. Jesus will transform you so that you might be happy to open the door. Let us pray.